We've completed our series on the life of Jesus from cradle to cross, and so today we're going to start on a new series looking at the resurrection appearances, which will take us up to ascension. I'm going to start with Jesus' appearance on that first Easter day to two people travelling back to Emmaus. The reading comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 31. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" He said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it's now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women said, but they didn't see Jesus." Then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?" Then he started at the beginning with the books of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he were going on, but they pressed him, "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done." So he went in with them. And here's what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Jesus could have done a lot of things in the hours immediately after his resurrection. He could have appeared supernaturally in the highest court of any land. He could have appeared in Rome to Caesar. He could have appeared to the Jewish leaders of the Sanhedrin. He could have appeared in the temple and showed all the priesthood and Levites that he was indeed who he said he was. But instead, Jesus spent a great portion of his first day as the resurrected king simply walking down a road to Emmaus with two disciples. What's interesting is that we know hardly anything about these two disciples. One had the name of Cleopas. It's the only time he's mentioned in scripture. The other, we don't even know his or her name. My question is why? Why would Jesus choose to spend his first day being resurrected with two seemingly non-important followers walking down the road to Emmaus, a small, insignificant little place? I think the reason was that Jesus was modelling for us what he would continue to do until he comes again, walk alongside us. You see, each one of us is on a road. We're all, in a sense, on that road to Emmaus. We're on the journey of life. And there are many people who, while they have heard about Jesus, need to understand more fully who he is. And that's the heart of Jesus. He wants to know you personally. He wants you to know him personally. Jesus has always been the one who came to seek people on their journey. Jesus is a personal Jesus. The living Jesus wants to join you on your journey. Many people have heard of Jesus. They know that there's a holiday called Easter. They perhaps know that this is the day that Jesus, according to Christians, came out of the grave, but yet they aren't convinced of it. Oh, yes, Grandma believed it and lived by it, but they themselves have never made a real solid commitment to Jesus. Everyone has their own journey, and it's up to each individual to make their own commitment to Christ. Your grandma's experience with Christ won't get you into heaven. Jesus wants to join you in your journey, so that before the day is done, you will come to know that Jesus is alive and is there to help you. Jesus wants to join you on your journey. On your journey of life, on your road to Emmaus, as you walk, are you unhappy? Have you ever met someone and in just a moment or two of talking to them, you know that they're sad? There are so many things in life that can make us feel down. We suffer loss. Family and friends die. At times, jobs are lost. Your dog dies. You have quarrels. Divorce touches your life. Your children get involved in things they shouldn't. Or maybe it's abuse or addictions. Pain touches your life. Jesus, the living Christ, wants to join each one of us on our journey. He is alive today. He can walk into your life and he can bring hope. His presence brings hope. And it's not just hope for this life. This life is just a shadow, a moment or two. Jesus brings hope for the next life. I can't promise anyone that if Jesus joins you on the journey of life, that there won't be ups and downs. Every road has its difficulties. But the one thing I can promise is that he brings hope. And then the living Jesus will point you to his word. These two disciples, Cleopas and the other, had a lot of questions. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus gave them answers. God is not put off by your questions. For too long, the church hasn't listened to people enough to really hear the questions that they have. You may have questions this morning. Why is something a sin? Why, of all the people in my circle of friends, did this happen to me? And Cleopas and his companion had questions. They didn't get it. They weren't sure who Jesus was. They didn't know why the Jewish leaders had him put to death. They didn't understand that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was all a part of God's plan. There were a lot of things in the Old Testament that they needed to grasp. They needed the scriptures to be explained. And so what did Jesus do? He started at the beginning with the books of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that refers to him. Jesus goes through the Old Testament to say that it's all pointing towards him. It's not that every word is about Jesus, but that the whole of the Bible tells us about our sins and so our need for Jesus and a coming Saviour. The opening chapters of Genesis talk about the descendant of Eve who is going to crush the serpent. Noah's Ark shows us what God's judgment is like against sin, and we need rescue that only he can provide. Abraham shows us the type of faith we need to have in God and in his promises. Abraham's son Isaac carries firewood up a mountain so he can be a sacrifice, just like Christ carries the cross. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, and Jesus was betrayed by his disciples. Moses was almost killed by an evil king at his birth, and so was Jesus. The whole sacrificial system of sheep and goats and cows points to the need for a lasting sacrifice. And the list goes on and on and on as we think about all the ways the scriptures point to Christ Jesus. He is the fulfillment of his all. Jesus said that all these things happened by necessity. It was not an accident that Judas betrayed Jesus that night. It was not an accident that the bloodthirsty rulers of the Jews conspired to destroy him. These things were ordained from the foundation of the world. They had to happen. God prepared 2,000 years of prophecy for his people's information. But how slow they were to believe all those things written in the prophets and the law. And then the living Jesus is waiting to be invited in. Jesus wants to be invited into your life. He is the living Christ. He's King. He's God. He is Lord. All authority in heaven and earth is given to him. He could demand that every person on earth recognize him for who he is, and he could demand that everyone follow him. But he doesn't. He wants you to choose to follow him. He waits for you to invite him in. Jesus is waiting for an invitation. He is waiting for you to open the door. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." We've referred in the past to the stained glass window in our church depicting Holman Hunt's famous painting, The Light of the World. In that painting, Jesus is standing and knocking at the door. The thing about the painting that is impressive is that there is no handle on the outside. You see, the door has to be opened from the inside. He is waiting for you to open the door. There are a lot of people who think, "There's no way, with everything that I've done, with all the sins I've committed, all the stuff I've been involved in, all the heartache I've been through, that Jesus wants anything to do with me." They think that Jesus wants nothing to do with them. And yet, all the time, he is knocking. He just wants you to open the door and let him in. The whole reason why he went to the cross was to provide a way for you to come to him. On the cross, he took your sin and mine on himself. He took the punishment for our sins so that we might go free. God will forgive you because your sins have already been punished in the person of Jesus. No one is excluded from his grace because they have messed up too much. All you have to do is just open the door, invite him in. The living Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's saying, "I'm knocking. Open the door." If Jesus is alive, there's no time to waste. If Jesus is alive, everything we believe is true. If Jesus is alive, then death has been defeated. If Jesus is alive, then heaven is more than a dream. If Jesus is alive, then our sins are really forgiven. If Jesus is alive, then all his promises are true. If Jesus is alive, then we can never truly be alone again. Well, there's no if about it. Jesus is alive. He rose in glory on that first Easter morning, and he's still here, knocking on the door of your heart. Will you invite him in today? Let's finish with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the amazing privilege that we have of being able to spend time in your presence. Thank you that we can listen to your voice speaking to us through your word. Keep us walking in a close relationship with you each day. Amen.